We spoke this morning about how that Philip said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus," and how that seeing Jesus would help us in several ways. And this morning, seeing Jesus would help us in our service. Zacchaeus had to climb up in a tree to see Jesus. And then Isaiah, he had to climb down. Amen. He had seen all that was wrong in the nation of Israel. And then he comes along and he has an encounter with the Holy God. And he humbled himself. He said, "Woe is me." No longer was he telling about everything that was wrong around him. But now he could see there was something wrong inside of him. And God made a great servant out of Isaiah. Amen. I appreciate the book of Isaiah, don't you? Isaiah 53 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And it's a chapter that at one time I had word for word memorized. And I love it. It describes the suffering of our Lord. But here tonight, we're going to look at seeing Jesus. Not only will it help us in our service, but seeing Jesus will help us in our suffering. The Bible said here that we see Jesus. Now, we know tonight that we're not talking about seeing him with our physical eyes, but we're talking about seeing him through the spiritual eye gate, because the Bible talked about by faith Moses, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You say, "Well, preacher, you can't see someone that's invisible." I beg your pardon, I just did. Say amen right there. I sat there on the bench thinking about what some of our people are going through and the songs that were ordered and ordered of the Lord. Amen. And I see his hand, amen, and what he's doing, even in this family being with us tonight. And I appreciate that so very much. But let's look tonight and see him in his suffering. I was amazed yesterday. We should really not be amazed. I've been on this road a little while, but you know, once in a while, the Lord will still amaze you. I was sitting there talking to a young lady about her soul there yesterday, and I made it pretty good. She made it pretty good through that part about how that we're sinners, and she understood that. She realized that, and she acknowledged that. And she did all right there when it come to that part where the wages of sin is death. I taught her about the second death. She had never heard of that. 99 out of 100 people don't even know what the second death is. Have never heard of it. Amen. So I taught her about the second death and how that if our name is not in the book of life, then we're going to end up in an awful place called hell. And I tell you what really got to this young lady, and different things get to different people. I began, Sister Jennifer, to describe how they whipped Jesus at that scourging post. I described that whip, that cat of nine tails, and how that my friend that in that end of that whip and those little pieces of leather, that broken pieces of metal and pottery and stone and things like that were tied in there and designed to jerk hunks of flesh out of a man's back, and it would wrap around many times and jerk hunks out of his rib cage. And we know that not a bone of his was broken. But as I began to describe the suffering of the Lord, and then I told her how that it was an art for that Roman soldier, my friend, to whip a man and not kill him. He didn't want him to die at the scourging post. He wanted him to be crucified and die slowly. He wanted to drive nails in his hands and in his feet. They wanted to walk by and mock those that were being crucified. And I tell you, I saw the Holy Ghost of God begin to camp in on that young lady. Amen. As I described the sufferings of the Lord. And then I got done just trying. Listen, by the way, I don't believe any man has ever done an adequate job of describing the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ that he went through for you and for me. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 52, I believe along about the last verse, his visage was so marred, more than the form of any man. I believe he looked like a piece of meat hanging on a pole. I believe it was hard to recognize that it was even a man hanging there. You say, "Preacher, what's the purpose of this message?" I'll tell you what the purpose is. If we can see Jesus, it'll help us in our suffering. Amen. If we can get our suffering
to the foot of the cross, if we can get our suffering, amen, in the light of Calvary, then we'll understand that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us one day after a while. I was just thinking about, it's kind of a little stupid illustration, but it's something that really happened in my life. Easter Sunday years ago, I was pastoring in Wise, Virginia, and I got something called a toothache. I preached a sunrise service, I taught Sunday school, I preached the morning service, and I preached the evening service, and made it fine. But right after the evening service, I'm telling you, anybody ever had a toothache? I mean, tell you, my head felt like it was going to blow off, amen. Matter of fact, I wouldn't have cared for one of them fellas that cut it off. I mean, I needed some relief, amen. And I, all night long, I never got a wink of sleep. I couldn't take enough Advil or ibuprofen to touch it. And the next morning, I called over here to a place, a dental center here in Kingsport. They said, we'll pull it for $17. I got over here and they charged me $25 to tell me they couldn't pull it. Amen. Had to send me to an oral surgeon. But anyway, I'll tell you, like you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I was laying in that chair at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, able to get an appointment, thank God, with an oral surgeon, laying in that chair. And I tell you, I had complained in my spirit all night. I had heard all night. And laying in that chair, the Lord took me to Calvary. He said, listen, that's just one tooth. You wonder what it felt like when every bone was out of joint. Amen. And everything inside of him was exposed. No, there was not a bone broken. Amen. Wonder what it felt like when the crown of thorns was down in his head, with spit running down his face, his eyes beat black and blue, his back opened wide open, nails in his hand, nails in his feet. I laid there, Brother Larry, in that chair, began to weep. I said, thank you, Lord, I'm a Christian. Thank you, Lord, for dying for somebody like me. Thank you, Lord, for suffering in my place. Help me, God. I tell you, I hate needles. Here come that dentist with that needle. I said, bring her here. I'm ready. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. Our Lord Jesus suffered, and just a little bit, that's nothing compared to what some of our precious people are going through tonight. But I want you to know, in the line of Calvary, if we can see Jesus suffering for you and suffering for me, it'll help us to take another step on down the road for the glory of God. I believe that with all of my heart. I've been with people. I've watched things that are unbelievable and many times unbearable. But I tell you, I believe if we would have walked, you sang about it tonight, sister, if we would have walked even by the Garden of Gethsemane and heard the agony of soul going on, I believe a devil tried to kill him in the garden, amen? I believe a devil didn't want him to make it to Calvary. He wanted to mess up all that prophecy. Ain't you glad, thank God about it? The devil can't mess up what God has already determined is going to be so, amen? He went to the cross, bore our sin in his body. The Bible said it's even stronger statement than that. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll tell you tonight, I looked at that young lady and I said, honey, you know who should have been tied to that post? It should have been me, and it should have been you. He's the only one that ever lived perfect. He's the only one that always kept the law. He's the only one that didn't deserve to die. He's the only one that didn't deserve to suffer. But he suffered for time so that you and I would not have to suffer for eternity. Amen. What a blessing it is to have an opportunity. The Bible said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, let me just run a rabbit right here. All kinds of doctrine in this country, and they're telling you that Jesus died for the sheep. Listen to me, he did die for the sheep. But that Bible, I just read you a verse of scripture. If I didn't have another verse, It said, by the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. I'm telling you, beloved, don't you tell me Jesus died for a few or died for this crowd or died for that crowd. For God so loved the world, the whole wicked world, that he gave his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to tell you something right now. The doctrine of predestination's deep. The doctrine of election's deep. I'll leave that stuff with the Lord. Say amen right there. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people shocked the night I got saved. But there's a God in heaven, Brother Lance. He wasn't shocked. He knew I needed to be born again that night. Amen. And thank God he visited me. I'm just saying tonight, if we see Jesus, it'll help us in our service. It'll help us in our suffering tonight. I believe with all of my heart, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. No wonder the Bible said, my friend, remember now the Creator, thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's some people in this building that would say to the younger generation, while you got everything in place and while there's nothing hurting, praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Because I believe as you get older, as you get tireder, as you hurt more. Amen. I believe we all, my friends, slow down a little bit in our worship and our praise of him that's worthy. Amen. Our suffering. We see Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Watch this. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is it reasonable? How many believes one day we're going to be perfect? If we had our way, now listen to me tonight. I think I'm speaking for Rick. I may not be speaking for anybody else. But I believe if we had our way, we'd like to be perfect and made perfect without suffering. Would somebody help me tonight? If we could just get from here to yonder and be made perfect. But oh, let me tell you something tonight. Job had it right. Man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. I just want to tell you something tonight. If the captain couldn't be made perfect without suffering, what in the world would make you think that we're going to be made perfect without suffering? Amen. I'm telling you, no wonder Paul, he had it right. He said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. I'm telling you, I've only been here a short time at this church. I've watched people suffer. I've watched people cry. I've watched people cry for their loved ones. And I want you to know, listen, it ain't going to be long. We're going to step off on heaven's bright shore. We'll shed our last tear. We'll experience our last pain. And let's just see Jesus and plow on for the glory of God. Amen. I believe with all of my heart tonight the captain has been made perfect. And the captain's going to come and take this ship out of here soon. Amen. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power over the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things, watch this, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. You say, preacher, does God know what I'm going through? How many can answer that tonight? Oh, my friend, listen. Your pastor may never be able to get a grip on what you're going through. But I tell you, our faithful high priest, amen, he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. Watch this. He made like unto his brethren a merciful, a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means to come alongside. It goes right along with that word paraclete. The Holy Ghost comes right alongside to help us. Amen. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we'll never see Jesus without the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that can help us. Amen. To get a glimpse of him and get a glimpse of Calvary in the midst of our suffering. I believe tonight that God wants us to see. Seeing Jesus will help us in our service. Seeing Jesus will help us in our suffering. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter number 6 and verse number 19. This is kind of a parallel, but it's just another instance in the Word of God. Not only will seeing Jesus help us in our service and help us in our suffering, but in John chapter number 6 and verse number 19, let me show you just a couple of more things here in the Word of God. We'll close tonight. John 6 and verse number 19. Look, watch what the Bible said. The Bible said, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Let's back up and read this whole story right here. Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force, verse 15, to make him a king. He departed into a mountain himself alone. When evening was come, his disciples went down into the sea. You say, preacher, why did they go down there? Because Jesus told them to. Why did they get in a boat? Because Jesus told them to. That does away with that doctrine. Amen. People say, well, if you're in a storm, that's because you're just not doing right. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a Greek word for that, and I think it's hogwash. Say amen. These men were doing exactly what God wanted them to do. And they ended up in a storm. I'm just telling you tonight, if we see Jesus, it'll help us in our service. It'll help us like it did Zacchaeus. It'll help us like it did Isaiah. But thank God, it'll help us in our suffering. And thank God, it'll help us in our storm. If we can just see Jesus, amen. We don't have to be afraid. Watch what the Bible said here. When he was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. You ever had any dark days? I never have seen the sun shining bright and it's storming. Say amen. I'm telling you, last night it come a storm over here. Amen. I was out here. I mean, it come a storm. And I got up on a chair in the youth room and looked outside. You say, why didn't you go out there? Amen. Because I'd have got wet if I went out there, amen. I would have got sprinkled, and I'm a Baptist, amen. That wouldn't have worked, amen. I'd have got drowned is what I'd have got. It was storming. Watch what the Bible said here. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Has it ever been dark where you live? Has the wind ever been blowing contrary where you live? Have you been trying and rowing, amen, and rowing? I'm telling you, there's people that are not even here tonight. Not even here tonight, that are going through some great storms with their children, going through some great storms in their family. But I'm telling you tonight, seeing Jesus will make all the difference in the world in that storm. The Bible said this. The Bible said, so when they had rowed about 25, 20, 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I. Have you ever had him say that to you? Amen. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. There's a lot of uncertainty in this world. But one thing is certain. You and I as God's people are never alone. He said, I'll go with you all the way. I'm going with you all the way, even to the end. I'm going to go with you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. They willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land. Whether they win. It amazes me sometimes how quickly, if we can just see him, that he'll step out on the bow of that ship. It became he sing a song, they sang it years ago. Sometimes he calms the storm. I've seen him, my friend, just make the waves lay down. And sometimes the waves just keep crashing, and he just calms me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, either one will work. Say amen. If he puts that good calm, the Holy Spirit of God will visit you, help you to see Jesus. He puts that good calm down inside of you. It'll work. Amen. It'll work. It'll see you through another day. And immediately, the ship, I've seen the Lord bring relief immediately. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm done tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. Seeing Jesus will help us in our service. It'll help us in our suffering. It'll help us in our storms. Have you ever wondered why some people don't make it? Why some people, instead of getting closer to God, they go away from God? Why some people, instead of getting closer to the church, go away from the church? Some people, instead of getting closer to the Bible, they go away from their Bible. Instead of getting closer to that prayer closet, they go away from that prayer closet. You say, preacher, what makes the difference? I'll tell you what, seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. You've got to see somebody besides pastor. You've got to see somebody besides your spouse. You've got to see somebody besides your children. You've got to see somebody besides your neighbor. You've got to get a glimpse of him and you'll make it. Amen. You'll make it if you just get a glimpse of him. The Bible said here, Hebrews chapter number 11. I was turning there a while ago when I got sidetracked. Hebrews chapter 11, we're reading about Moses again. The Bible said here in Hebrews chapter 11, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Over here in this hallway where the men have painted this week, we're going to have a hall of faith. And we're going to put up our mission letters over there and have a nice place to display either a prayer card or a picture, or at least the name and the country where the missionary. Brother Mike, we're going to need your help with that. Amen. And it's not going to be a hall of fame. I tell you, those men and women will never be in the hall of fame. But thank God they'll be in the hall of faith because they carried the gospel around the world. Amen. Told men and women, boys and girls about a Savior. Amen. That loved them. Hebrews chapter number 11, look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, He was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Now, I'm not going to split hairs with you, but I believe what the Bible's talking about right there. They saw that God had his hand on him. Amen. They saw something special. Amen. Have you ever seen that? Amen. There's just something special. Amen. About this youngin. And the Bible said they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now listen, I don't know about you, but if I lived in that day and I knew they was coming after my son, I might be afraid, Brother Brian. Amen. But the Bible said by faith, Moses' mommy and daddy had some faith. Amen. They believed that God had his hand on this boy and that God would preserve this boy. How many knows if you put a youngin' in a basket and put him in the river, that God better be the one doing the guiding? Say amen right there. God protected him. God preserved him. The same God that protected Moses and preserved Moses is protecting you, and he'll preserve you and I tonight. Amen. The same God. Watch this now. The Bible said by faith Moses, when he was come to years, I don't know how many years that was, I think in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken, you had to be about 20 years old to be considered able to go to war. Is that right? I found that, I think, over there in Joshua or something like that. Those that were old enough to go to war, they didn't get to go into the promised land. They all died in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe God. Amen? But that younger generation got to go with Joshua into the promised land. Watch this now. My faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How many of y'all have ever looked around and seen somebody that don't even know God, don't even claim to know God, cusses every other breath, and they seem to be making it a whole lot better than you are? Come on now. Amen. How many understands in this statement right here that if Moses would have been willing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, as far as this world goes, he would have had it made. He would have had it made. Amen. The Bible said here he refused. Why? Watch this now. Choosing. See that right there? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm going to tell you what, he made a conscious choice, Brother Larry. He said, I'm going with God. It might cost me. There might be some affliction. There might be some trouble. But at the end of the way, it would be better to have went with God than to stayed in the palace, amen, and had it made like one of Pharaoh's children. Watch this now. The Bible said esteeming, wow. What's that say, the reproach of who? Wonder what that fellow that got up one time, you know, some people, they open their mouth and say things that just let you know that they're a brick shy of a load. A preacher got up and said, you won't find Christ in the Old Testament. Wonder what he does with that verse. The Bible said right there that he is esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you see that? Watch what the Bible said here. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You remember Moses kept coming back to Pharaoh, and there was all those plagues. I used to have them memorized. There's lice and frogs and flies, amen. And I don't know what all there was. There was a pestilence in the land and all kinds of things going on. It ended up with the death of the firstborn. The water turned to blood. I remember that. Anybody got another one you want to throw out there right quick? Amen. What happened, brother? Hail, fire. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Moses kept going in front of Pharaoh, but he didn't fear the wrath of the king. You say, preacher, what's this last thing right here? How many believes the Bible teaches that having done all, you and I are to stand? You might tell you what's going to help us to take our stand? Seeing him who is invisible. I believe it will be easier, Brother Teddy, to make the right choices if we can just realize he's standing there watching us. And just realize, you remember when Peter made the wrong choices and he made eye contact with Jesus and the Word of God said he went out and he wept bitterly because he had warmed by the devil's fire. He had cursed. He had denied that he knew the Lord. Amen. By the way, friend of mine, if we're not careful, if we don't see him, we will not take the stand that we're supposed to take in this generation. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that God still has a people that want to do what's right because it is right, but because it pleases their Savior when they do what's right. We don't want to cause him hurt. We don't want to cause him shame. We don't want to bring reproach on his name, but we want to bring glory to his name. I say seeing Jesus will help us in our service. Seeing Jesus will help us in our suffering. Seeing Jesus will help us in our storms. But seeing Jesus will help us to stand. It'll help us to stand in this generation. Our teenagers, many of them are here tonight. I'm going to tell you something right now. They need to stand, but they can't stand without Jesus. They'll be run plumb over by the devil and by this world and by the flesh without Jesus. But if they could just see Jesus. Listen, you can't always see mom and dad. Mom and dad won't always be there. But I tell you one that'll always be there, amen? And that's the Lord, amen? One that's always listening, one that's always watching. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. I believe tonight we need to see Jesus. It'll help us along the way. The Bible said he forsook Egypt. There was something to get away from, not fearing the wrath of the king. Egypt in the Word of God is the type of the world. Amen. How many believes God wants us to forsake the world? Amen. You know, I read something just last night. I didn't even realize it might come out in this message. But I read something last night. You know, sometimes it'll take a period of time, like it did in the life of Moses, to get him out of the world. But then God took him to the backside of the desert and got the world out of him. Say amen right there. And I believe that's true in all of our lives. Amen. It takes us some time to get out of the world. But I tell you, I believe it's a lifetime getting the world out of us. Amen. God wants us to be set apart. God wants us to be used for His honor, used for His glory. How can it happen, preacher? Seeing Jesus. Let me give you something tonight in closing. Turn over with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. My Bible is just across the page. The Bible said this, follow peace with all men. What's that next word? And what's that next word? Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now listen to me, I don't believe it's a stretch. I did a lot of studying before I said what I'm going to say. And not too many are on this side of the fence. I can tell you that right now. But I believe the way the Lord spoke to my heart down through these things and seeing Jesus. Lots of times we put that verse right there, without which no man shall see the Lord. We put that out there in eternity. In other words, we're not going to see Him in eternity. We're not going to be with Him in eternity. Let me just say it to you like this. We're not going to see Him work in our lives right now without holiness either. We're not going to see the Lord, amen. We're not going to see the Lord directing our lives and working in our lives apart from holiness. God wants us to be a holy people. God wants us to come out from among the world and be a separate people and touch not the unclean thing. I believe with all of my heart tonight, I believe with all of my heart, all of the social media, all of the internet and the television, just about everything that's been invented in the last 50 years is designed to take us, my friend, away from the things of God and occupy our time, amen, occupy our minds and put things in our minds that we know good and well are contrary to that precious book that we have in our lap. And if you're not careful, you'll come on down the road a little further and begin to accept things, just like this generation is doing, that we know is contrary to the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Society might make it acceptable, but it'll never be acceptable in the eyes of God. If God said it was wrong, it's still wrong. And if God said it was right, it's still right. The preaching of the cross was foolishness when Paul's doing it. It's foolishness today to them, my friend, that don't believe, it's foolishness. But to us, it's a power of God unto salvation. Amen. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God. I don't know about you tonight, but I have a design in my heart and in my life and a determination by design. I want to see Him. I want to see Him working on this hill. I want to see Him working in my family. I want to see Him working in my life. I want to see Him perfecting that in my life that is still imperfect. Amen. And the only way I'm going to see that is to see Him. To see Him. My friend, to see Him. Paul said that I may know Him. Paul had already been saved, Brother Fred. He wasn't talking about knowing Jesus in the free pardon of sin. He was talking about knowing Him intimately. He was talking about, my friend, being able to know that God was directing his steps. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of his mind. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Being made conformable. There it is. There's that suffering unto His death. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, God wants to use us, but it will not be used apart from seeing Him. If we'll see Him, it'll help us in our service. If we'll see Him. You know, how many remembers when you were lost? How many can remember when you were lost? How many can remember those people that come to the job on Monday morning when you were lost and made you want to vomit? They were happy. They were singing. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. They had a joy about them. You say, what was the difference between them and me? They got to see Jesus. Amen. They didn't have the Monday morning blues. Amen. They had the Monday morning, let's serve the Lord this week. Amen. The Monday morning, not, boy, I wish I had another job, but the Monday morning, I thank God for the job I've got. Amen. I thank God for the job I've got. One of our men said to me a while back, someone was complaining a little bit about a job, and he said, you ought to thank God for that job. He looked at me and he said, preacher, I tell you what they need to do. He said, they need to go work the graveyard shift for about a month straight and they thank God for that job. I say sometimes, listen, the grass might look greener on the other side, but where the grass is greener, it's usually over a septic tank. Say amen right there. I mean to tell you, it's not always greener. Let's just be content with what God's given us. Amen. And honor Him and see Him at work in our lives. How many's glad you come tonight? How many wants to see Him this week? Amen. I want to see Him. I want to be more sensitive to Him. I want to see the Lord. I want to see Him. I want to see Him working. I want to hear about Him working. I want to see Him working in our hearts and in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. Thank You, God, tonight for the precious, precious truths that we have in the Word of God. I pray, God, tonight that You'd seal these truths to our heart. Help us, God, in our service. Help us in our suffering. Help us, God. Help us in our storms. Help us, God, to stand. And having done all, to stand. Lord, we're living in a generation where it seems like fewer and fewer are standing. I pray, God, You'd help us. Help us to see Jesus. Lord, we'll give You glory in Jesus' precious name.